Welcome to Generation Cornerstone. I'm your host, Kimberly Marchand, and I'm so excited to be here for another episode. Here on Generation Cornerstone, we are seeking to restore covenant with Christ as the cornerstone for generational impact and legacy for the next generation of world changers. We will be digging into foundational principles and concepts of Christianity and speaking to individuals who have had success in various areas of life with Christ as their cornerstone. Thank you for coming along on this journey, and I hope you're blessed by today's episode. Welcome to another episode of Generation Cornerstone. My name is Kim Marchand, your host, and I'm so excited to be with you all here for another episode today. Today we are going to talk about communication, Christ-like communication, how we engage with others in the body of Christ, how we engage with others who may not even be in the body of Christ, and what that looks like to even have Christ at the center of how we engage with our fellow man. I'm really excited about our guest today. He has a really amazing testimony and is done amazing work for the body of Christ and specializes and is an expert in communication. So I thought he'd be a really great addition to the show. So really excited to hear from him. But as always, we are going to start and ground today's conversation in some scripture. So talking about communication, there are a couple of scriptures that first came to mind. First, Ephesians 4:29. Mm-hmm. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is Psalms 19:14. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So I thought those were really, there's obviously plenty of other scriptures that talk about communication and what it looks like for us, you know, to have the power of life and death and the power of our tongue and how we are supposed to speak kind words to one another, but really wanted to ground the conversation in what it means to have the meditation of our heart be pleasing to the Lord, because it says out of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? Like, so what we have, what we're meditating on, what we're reflecting on in our hearts is what actually comes out of our mouths. But it's also important to not grieve the Holy Spirit, which is why it's important for us. It may seem like this is a kind of a trivial or like really like granular thing to like bring into surrender to Christ, but it's really important because how we communicate, how we talk to people, that's our witness going forth, right? And like, we want to do all things into the glory of God. So it's really important with how we communicate to one another. Absolutely. So, yeah. So I'm going to let our guest today, Sam Gilbert III, introduce himself and tell us a little bit about himself.
Okay. Well, I am Sam Gilbert III. I am a lowly music teacher in Spring Independent School District, and I love all of my students dearly. We can talk about on another day how I decided to become a music teacher when vocationally I had no intentions of doing that. But grace be to God on, you know, leading me on this journey. I am a little bit about myself as a background educationally. I went to Georgetown College in Kentucky, which is an extension of Bishop College in Dallas. That was a school, HBCU in Dallas, Texas, that closed down. They own the rights to Bishop, and my grandfather and my father are also Bishop graduates. So I am a third generation Bishop College graduate because of the program at Georgetown College. There, I was a communication and media studies major. I wanted to do broadcast journalism and perhaps organizational communication, but God's tend to lead me in a different direction when it comes to that degree, because really all of the tools that I use in Georgetown to get that degree, I'm using for the body of Christ. And I'm so grateful for that, because it then segued from Georgetown to a feeder pattern to Baylor University's Truett Theological Seminary in Waco, Texas. Going there was not one of my decisions that I made right out of undergrad. It took me a while to get to the point that I said, okay, seminary is the graduate opportunity that I wanted to take. But it was a labor of love with prayer and supplication with my family. And we all decided together that I would go to seminary, not as a preacher like a lot of my family members, but organizational leadership when it comes to ministry and focusing on Christian education, which Masters of Arts in Christian Education. And I focused a lot of my coursework with working with youth and young adults in ministry and fostering a sense of discipleship at an early age and early adolescence, and the importance of fostering Christian discipleship in early adolescence, then that will sustain you into your adult adolescence and beyond. The Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they get old, they will surely not depart from it. And 100%, I am a true believer in that, because that is my testimony of faith, is why I'm here foundationally. It's because the foundation I've gotten as a child growing up in the Black church. My father and mother are Samuel Dr. S.J. Gilbert II and Marietta Gilbert. I'm grateful for the raising that I've gotten from my parents. And not only that, I'm 29 years old. I was born in the cold of November winter, and I am a preacher's kid. And contrary to what a lot of preacher's kids say, I am grateful to God that I am a preacher's kid. And not only that, a third generation preacher's kid. I find it as a segue into my calling, into this ministry, the family calling, the legacy calling of doing ministry alongside your family members. It's a legacy because not only am I really a third generation on my father's side, I am a second generation on my mother's side. Mm. So I got a double portion of that ministry leadership bug or in my DNA, and I'm grateful for that. And so that's why I'm here today, not as a pastor or a preacher, but, you know, in some ways there must be some evolution. You know, there are plenty of Gilbert preachers and pastors, but there are so many other portions of Christian ministry that gets left behind because of the romanticizing of preaching ministry. It is important, yes, but at the same time, thank you. It's at the same time, it's so many other ways to foster a sense of who Jesus was here on earth and where God wants us to be spiritually in this life before we get to heaven. So that's just who I am. A little background, and I will continue to let you know who I am throughout this presentation, because my testimony is really highly infused in my personal biography. So,
That's great. Thank you for sharing so candidly and richly about your journey so far and your life. So you just said you grew up as a preacher's kid, third generation. So I know that looks a little different for people depending on, you know, their vantage point or their experience. So why don't you just tell us a little bit about like your journey with the Lord and kind of how you've come to stay in the faith, even being raised up as a preacher kid? Like, what does that look like in your adult life?
Yes, because most certainly there has been a great evolution, you know, when it comes to growing up in the faith and then as an adult renegotiating what that looks like for yourself.
Yes.
You know, that is the authority there. That is the the main thing, taking mm-hmm. the faith that your mom and dad kind of baby fed you, kind mm-hmm. of chewed up and regurgitated and, you know, made it palatable for you to consume, and then taking the big cow or the big pig, butchering it up, slicing it up, and then portioning out the pieces you like to create a meal that is healthy for your Christian nourishment.
Right.
So as I mentioned, I am a preacher's kid, but I've also been very blessed to be around a church mm-hmm. that also raised me. I loved to play church when I was a kid. Let's just go back. You know, I was a church baby. I grew up in the church. I loved to play church as a kid. My friends would come over. They'd be like, let's play cops and robbers. I'm like, no. And they'd be like, let's play house. I'm like, no. How about let's play church?
Yeah.
Pastor, I'll be the choir director. You be the member. You sit in the pews, you know. If you want to say a prayer, you better come up and act right, because we're playing church. We're not doing all the other stuff.
That's great.
That's just the churchy child that I was. And I used to line up my little model cars down the hall and tell my mom, this is the parking lot to my church. But as I grew up, you know, I moved from playing church to wanting to be a part of the real church. Mm-hmm. No longer wanted to play church at home. And it was my mother who really took the time to explain what salvation was, who Jesus was, and to answer my annoying questions like observing the sacraments of the church, like the Lord's Supper.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, Mama, why are these people eating snacks in church? And you told me I couldn't even much have my goldfish.
Mm-hmm.
In church, you know, explain to me how come they get to eat in the military and I can't, you know. And then explain to me why they dunking people in the pool up there. What are they doing?
Mm-hmm.
Those symbols really intrigued me to learn more about what salvation was, and mm-hmm. my mother's patience in asking, synthesizing an adult ideology to a child and translating that in a way that I can understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And then say, okay, I don't want to play church no more. I want to really get baptized. I want to really take a part of the sacraments of the church, which is do this in remembrance of me,
mm-hmm.
and bring the blood and the body that was mm-hmm. sacrificed for me.
Mm-hmm.
It was a intricate concept for my mother to try to pontificate and synthesize for me. Yet here I am today at the age of 7, baptized on my own terms. Nobody pushed, prodded, poked, you know, appealed to me. Even the stuff that they say during the altar call to discipleship hour, I don't even remember nothing that was said at that time, because I had made the decision in my heart way before that
mm-hmm.
to come and say, today is going to be the day.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't tell my mom that day. I didn't tell my dad. That was something that I took upon myself to do, even though my father was my pastor. Now, leading on, moving forward, my dad has facilitated how I worship, you know, the encouragement to use my spiritual gifts,
mm-hmm.
encouragement to then not hide it under a bushel, let it shine. You know, that is what my dad then took the baton and carried it on. And still to this day is teaching me how to be a better Christian, facilitate, and then how to be me,
mm-hmm.
you know, unapologetically, even though I am not like him. I'm not in preaching ministry per se,
mm-hmm.
But Christian education is the personification of speaking to others in light of Christian ministry. But yeah, that's a little bit of my testimony as far as how I got to see the Lord and how I am continuing to see the Lord.
Yeah, no, that's so good. And I think even this, I love how you started this conversation with us just, I think, reframing how we think about ministry, right? And I think especially in like modern church culture, most people just know the pastor, right? Most people just know the preacher and they think that's it. You might know a worship leader or two, right? But there's so many other components to the depth mm-hmm. of how the body of Christ was called to operate and so many other pieces of Christ's life that needs to go forth. And it's not just the pastor, it's not just the preacher. He's only one man, right? And so, or only one person. And so it's like the gifts are supposed to be shed abroad. And everyone has that ability to be to use their gifts for his glory. But I think even this your work in like Christian education is so important because like you started like training up children and how they should go and when they're older they won't depart from it. Like it's vital, especially in today's society, to come to them with an understanding or to be able to break down the word or these like super lofty theological concepts to them in a way that they understand. And even if it doesn't fully penetrate or resonate now, we know, right, from our experience, from other people's experience in our spheres, like they will come back to it if those seeds have been planted, right? So mm-hmm. I think that's so important and so good that you have been able to find a way to articulate and like lean into your own gifts and not be like, I have to be up there doing what my dad and my grandpa did. It's like, no, you are still a very integral part of the ministry. It just looks a little different, but it's just as important for this next generation. So, that's great. Yeah. So I know you're an expert in like communication. You mentioned that was like part of your degree. And I know that you have a heart when we talked about getting you onto the podcast, like your heart for like communication and healthy communication and what that looks like specifically within like the body of Christ and in church. And I know that's a lot of the work that you've been doing around like ministry administration and specifically like with children's education. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your heart for community and healthy communication within the body of Christ? Like, why is it important to you that we as a body, like lean into a greater understanding of like healthy communication and the importance of community?
Yes, my heart for Christian community is 100% based on the love and support that I received as a child from my home church, Mount Sinai Baptist Church in the Houston Heights of Texas, Houston, Texas. I was not only raised by my two parents, I was raised by the 500 plus members of my church. You know, and still to this day, I get members calling me, baby, do you want some food? You know, things like that. And those are the true things, the support, the correction, the love, the encouragement, the prayer, and the fellowship is what grounds me in true Christian love, because those are Christian love nuggets personified. And it's all of these things, pieces of these things, that has helped build healthy relationships with everyone in the church that I'm around. We very much so, we have a building healthy relationships ministry within our church. And that idea permeates every area of my life.
Wow.
Because when you think about it, you have relationships all over. Mm-hmm. It's just an involuntary kind of circumstance of which you're going to have relationships.
Like, right.
You're going to have work relationships, romantic relationships, familial relationships, social relationships.
Right.
I'm just talking about like people who you just maybe Facebook, Instagram, networking, professional relationships, people who you work with, people who you might 100% do business with and have a professional rapport built with them, and interpersonal relationships, 100%. How you interact with even people you don't even know and probably will never see again ever in life.
Right.
Strangers, you right. know, that's important. And that's a true reflection of God's love and work in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And how your interpersonal communication skills with others point to how Jesus walked and maintained his dignity while he was here on earth with us sinners.
Mm-hmm.
And how he has also, Jesus has also been tempted with some of the same things we get tempted with socially.
Yeah.
And him understanding how to navigate that. That's why we must look to Jesus, because he gives us a model on how we should love one another in life.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 through 40 says, these are his exact words, because mm-hmm. if you open your Bible, some of y'all who have real Bibles, they in the red lettering, have you know?
And yeah.
They're human letters. It says this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is this, love it like your neighbor, love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
All of these laws and prophets hang on these two commandments.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a reason why Jesus said this, and a reason why the author translated this from Jesus's words onto the book, because there's a lot of things Jesus did and said that did not make it into the canon as we know it.
Right.
This is specific in strategy, because loving is the lens of which you can break down those barriers of hate.
Mm-hmm.
Loving. And then loving your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Loving others as your Lord God has loved you
mm-hmm.
is a very hard thing to do, because a lot of people confuse liking,
yeah,
loving,
yeah.
They like your neighbor. You ain't gotta like them.
You gotta love them. Yeah,
to love them.
Yeah. Wow.
That's the heavy part of it, because that's a little harder to do. Mm-hmm. Now, there's some people I don't really care for, and that's just natural.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, there were some people that he didn't really care for as far as being around them. You know, you can even look at it as indicative of his disciples.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people who called themselves, there was 12. But there were three main ones
mm-hmm.
that Jesus was close to. You know, Jesus did not take doubting Thomas mm-hmm. to the Mount of Configuration.
Mm-hmm.
That was not his ministry. That was Doubting Thomas. His name is in the name.
Mm-hmm.
He was a doubter.
Yeah.
But he still believed.
Yeah.
So you got to know who is in your inner circle,
mm-hmm.
in your peripheral circle. And that's okay.
Yeah.
That's 100% okay. That's for your, this your, for your peace, for your sanity.
Mm-hmm.
But you still what? At the end of the day, love.
Yeah.
All those people. So that's the model. That's the model we have. That's the model we take. And that's the model we adapt to every single encouragement, every single hello, every single opening the door, every single good morning. I'm a teacher. Everybody thinks I love them. That's good. But everybody knows I don't like them.
Yeah. You know? Oh my gosh. No, I think that's so good. And I love what you said about I love that y'all have a ministry devoted to healthy relationships, because I think part of like good ministry is being able to equip and train your members outside for life outside of church, right? So like mm-hmm. it's very easy, or not very easy, it's probably easier, right, mm-hmm. to do life with Christians or people who have the exact same views as you, who go to the exact same church as you, who have the same exact ideology as you, right? Like it's a little bit easier to probably engage and maintain and develop relationships with those people. But you said that y'all have a ministry that is around healthy relationships, but that is naturally going to translate to the people outside. And you even said there's people that you will encounter or meet one time and you will never see them again. However, how you engage with that person could be the seed or yeah. could be the expression of love or could be the catalyst for them to seek or explore something different. That man was really kind to me. That woman was really kind to me. She was so sweet. She was so nice. She gave an encouraging or kind word just when I needed it. We don't know what people are going through, but it's that love of Christ expressed, right? That could be the catalyst for how someone else comes to find the Lord. So I think that's really important work. And I just commend y'all for doing that. And I think more churches should probably lean into this understanding of what it means to develop and maintain and cultivate healthy relationships and give their members the tools to do that. So,
yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's great. So for you, I know we talked a little bit about, offline we talked a little bit about like your journey around like learning this this communicate. It's like we see the word, we know what we're supposed to do, we know we're supposed to love, we know what it says, like the foundational scriptures that we started this conversation with around, like not letting corrupt communication leave your mouth and making sure that everything we do is glorifying to the Lord and not grieving the Holy Spirit. So mm-hmm. for you, what is the biggest difference you've seen in your interpersonal communications with either your brothers and sisters in Christ or with others, as we've kind of talked about, with Christ as a cornerstone? So like what is the biggest difference that you've seen in yourself? Like when you made the cognizant shift to understanding that you needed to be more intentional about how you engage and communicate with others?
So at the point is I tried to take into account what's truly at stake. Mm. And a lot of Christians don't really do that. Mm-hmm. They go to church on Sunday and forget Monday through Friday mm-hmm. or Monday through Saturday that they are blood-bought believers. Mm-hmm. And we hold the blood-stained banner up of the work, the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, and forget that when somebody comes in and is attitude prone and mm-hmm. messy, and you know, sometimes flesh takes over, you know, and it's just like, broop. Oh, I didn't mean to say that. I don't think Jesus would have said that. Mm-hmm. I should have turned the other cheek, mm-hmm. you know. But just being really intentional about making sure your interactions matches Jesus's expectations mm-hmm. of what you should be doing to foster the sense of discipleship within others.
That's good.
Jesus was very strategic about his interactions with others. So we want to use Jesus's interactions with others as a model for us. Mm-hmm. Because one thing about Jesus is the reason why God sent his son to be flesh here on earth, is to then understand the traumas and the hard trials of being tempted mm-hmm. with Satan in the world and how that's going to look. You know, if Jesus can facilitate through being tempted and temptation, you know, because Jesus was being tempted by Satan on every turn. Here, left, right, up, down. Like, if you just say, you just bow down, you can come up off that cross, player.
Yeah.
Suffer for these people who's spitting at you, scoffing at you, haters. These are haters. And Satan will get in your ear. Mm. What is us to think that we're immune when Jesus himself had to go through that?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And then Jesus is the magnet for Satan to come, because Satan won't even bother you when you're living in the world.
Nope.
He gonna come out of beeline straight to you once you say, I surrender all. Mm-hmm. And so that's what's going to be the point there. You got to keep in mind that lip bumping that's going to happen and keep your eye focused. What? To the heels. Mm-hmm. That's what come with your help. Mm. That's where your help is. That's where your strength comes from. The up, not looking down. So being strategic about how you communicate with others, being strategic about taking a step back and saying, Jesus did it. Ooh, it must have, Lord, it was tough.
Mm-hmm.
Let me make sure that I'm strategic and intentional about doing what I can to bring glory to God.
Yeah.
Bring shame to the name of being a Christian, blood-bought believers, not bringing shame to, oh, I can't go to church no more. I believe in God, but I can't do church.
Mm.
Why do you think that is? Because church people can be a little messy.
Mm.
That should not be a stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
Not proud of that stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
It should be the people who believe in Jesus' blood
welcoming
like Jesus was. The people who were baptized
but
the Lamb are welcoming and to all walks of people. Because you look at the people Jesus talked with and dealt with on earth, they were not the best people. Come on, you know Peter.
Yeah.
He was a head buster. Come on now. You know, all of the people, you know, Mary, not talking about Jesus' mother Mary, I'm talking about the other Mary, had, you know, a little background with her.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? That did not deter Jesus from showing love to that person. Saved her life.
Yeah.
Saved her life. Now she's where? Gonna be sitting in heaven
with
all of us that truly believe her past. That's why we have access to the tree of life.
That's so good. And I love that word around like strategic and intentionality, because I think once you get a certain level of like understanding and revelation, like this life that we live, this Christian life, is not something that we're supposed to just do like lackadaisically or like haphazardly, in the way that if we are called to make disciples of all nations, which I love that you keep bringing it back to like Jesus as the cornerstone, Jesus as the example, and for this unto making disciples, right? Which is what his charge was to all of us. But in order to do that, you have to be cognizant and intentional and strategic, like you said. So it's deeper than just, you know, knowing a few Bible verses and going to church every Sunday. It's like, no, I have to think strategically and be intentional about how I'm choosing to show up and engage with people on a regular basis for the sake of Jesus's name. So I think that's great. And I think that kind of lends into this next question around why you think it's important that people care about their communication skills and how we engage with others. And I think you've kind of answered that, but is there anything you want to add in addition to what you've already kind of shared?
A scenario, I would offer a scenario, which I was presented to recently by a teacher friend of mine who works at another school that shall remain nameless, because you already know the district.
Mm-hmm.
So it's up to you to decipher out of the 182 elementary schools who they talking about. But anyway, a coworker of mine who does not work at the same school but is a new teacher, is the same age as I, a young brown African-American man such as I, but is feeling like he's being hazed by elder teachers that are bivocational ministers.
Okay.
And bivocational meaning, for those who don't know, they are called to the faith but have a day job.
Okay.
And so, you know, on the weekends they laying hands, scriptures, praying, facilitating services, leading services for masses of individuals coming to worship God all together. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, they come into the school teaching the youth, things like that.
Right.
So one of the other, he was telling me the other day, one of the other people that he was working with was casting judgment upon them where they thought, where I'm sure the people, the older person who was a minister, where they thought they were trying to help guide and steer that person.
Mm.
So I would say it's important that people care about their communication, because if God tells you to say something to somebody, it is up to you to be a good steward with that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just because the Lord told you to say something about somebody's lifestyle and this, that, and the third, or some red flag that you was, you know, triggered off by something that they said or did or how they live, whatever. It's up to you as a vessel to make sure you sit down, you pray, you meditate, and you hunt your own assumptions before you come and try to help and inspire this other person to go in another direction and live their own life. Be careful as to not cast judgment in a way that can trigger that person to shut all communication down from listening to you. Because then here's what they're going to say. And you call yourself a Christian. Scoff. No. Your communication should not warrant the exchange of, oh, you call yourself a Christian vibes. Your communication should warrant. This is why you must synthesize. You must chew up, spit up, chew up, spit up, and take it back down. Chew it up, spit it up. Lord, how can I hunt my assumptions so that I can be a help? Even though I don't agree with how this person lives. Even though I don't understand it. Use me to be a vessel, to be a benefit, to bring this person closer to you, Lord. And you're going to have to say that prayer over and over and over and over again. Because even sometimes in the Bible, God has sent word to some of the disciples, some of the people, even Moses. And he didn't know what to do with it. He's like, Lord, I know you must be making a mistake because I don't have the oratory skills as my brother. I'm not the one, where I came from. King David was one of those same people. But God knows who he's using for when he wants to use it.
Yeah.
So you have to hunt your assumptions so that you don't put your assumptions, your feelings about how that person lives into what God has called you to do.
Yeah.
Come out of self and put God all the way in it.
Wow.
You're his vessel, not the other way around.
Yeah.
I hate when people offend people and say, well, the Lord told me to say it. That's my piece. And I said it. I did what God told me to do. I'm good. No, sir. No, ma'am. You were not a good steward of what God told you to do. You made that person upset and you pushed them further away from the body of Christ.
Wow.
You did more harm than good at that point. Now what? You have to answer to that.
Wow.
At the pearly gates. It's a lot of shit here, y'all.
I think that's so good. I'm thinking about even, because I know we're called to steward things. And I think a lot of times that is, stewarding your finances or stewarding other things that the Lord has like put in your hands. But I don't know that I've ever thought about stewarding even the word of the Lord or the things that he's told us. Right. Because there's a few things. Right. One, like you said, everything that the Lord told you to say, A, you don't have necessarily have clearance to go and run your mouth and tell everything on site. So that's first of all. But the second piece of that is we know that the Holy Spirit leads us in all things. So even if he did bring a word, I think that other piece that you said, okay, Lord, I'm perceiving that you want me to say something or do something with this word that you dropped in my spirit. How is it that you want me to steward it? How is it that you want me to engage with this? Search my heart, Lord, so that I don't have anything in my heart that's going to hinder this word from coming forth. But that takes a level of intentionality and stopping, right? And like taking the time to seek the Lord on something that he even gave you, right? And I think a lot of times we don't do that, right? We feel like we get something from the Lord and we just run with it. And it's like, no, I think that stewardship piece is even so key. It's like, okay, this is something that's on my spirit. Lord, you've put it in my hands. What exactly do you want me to do with it? How do you want me to? Because he will give you the strategy on how to talk to them, when to talk. Everything ain't a good time. Everything ain't a good place. Like people may not be in a place to receive it, but he will lead you in all those things if you take the time to
speak on it. Yes. And yeah, and in that too, that's a good piece too. The time you decide to communicate, even if you have the right words, you got to be looking like who's around this person when you're going to be saying these things. That could be an embarrassment in and of itself.
Absolutely.
You know? Absolutely. And so I've had so many elder ministers come to me and be like, this is what you need to do. And they did more offending than helping.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm still human. And, you know, I'm going to just be real. I do get pissed off from time to time with my brothers and sisters in Christ because I feel like, oh, am I the pain cushion? Who hurt you? Who hurt you? Why are you hurting me like this? You know? Yeah. And most times, you know, they say hurt people. And like, so people in the body of Christ are getting used to communicating in that way because they getting communicated like that too. So they say, oh, I'm not immune. I'm just giving it like I, calling it like I see it. Ooh, baby, no. Who hurt you? Hurt your assumptions on that first. Because you might just be burning to give off what somebody has given to you too. And it got nothing to do with that person you trying to help.
No, that's so good.
So yeah, that's the thing. Just kind of keep that in mind. Be careful, girl. Be careful, man. Be careful, sister, daughter, honey. Son, be careful. Be careful. Because now that young man doesn't want anything to do with the thing. Now that young man saying, "Oh, you call yourself a Christian," and then telling me about it, and then made up their decision about Christians. You know, and I'm like, man, that hurts my heart. I can't take back your experience. That's who you are. That's part of who you are.
Right.
So be careful, y'all, because you might not get a see. People always in the world say you never get a second chance to make a first impression.
Wow. Yeah, that's real.
And that goes for how you witness. So.
No, that's so good. So good. So what has been the hardest thing for you as you surrendered this piece of like your life and your how you communicate with others to Christ? So you've surrendered this area to Christ. The Lord is doing a work, a consistent like work in you. And you're just obviously very aware and cognizant of it. So you're intentional about this work. But what has been the hardest part of like surrendering even how you engage and communicate with others?
I would say the hardest part is, oh man, offering grace, like the same grace, because you know it is unmerited. God has given us grace, undeserved. And we forget as humans because I'm quick to cut somebody off real fast. And sometimes you need to cut people off for your peace, for your peace of mind. And so that you're not on the news at 10 o'clock. So-and-so has done something to so-and-so. Details at 10, details at, you know, 11. You don't want to be that person. But lending that same grace that has been offered to you to some others in your sphere is hard to do. And being, and with that grace, attending to the needs of others over your own needs. Sometimes, and I found this out, I don't know if you watched The Chi. It's a show on Showtime, and this young girl was kidnapped and human trafficked. And she was taken against her will and abused in the show. I encourage you to watch it because it's, you know, messages all around that show. And I do believe in exegeting everything I watch. I was even, it's just people's stories. These are scenarios of which you need to idealize because you never know when you might be that person that might be in that situation. And the theme of the new season was her trying to get her life renegotiated because she was rescued out of that abusive situation. And she needed someone to help her show and gain confidence in how to love again. Someone putting her needs over their own so that she can get to the place where she's not buked and scorned to have a relationship with someone romantically, personally, physically, because sometimes when people are hurt, they shut down. And they no longer want or willing to have relationships and fellowship with others because of the harm that someone has done. So being a Christian and lending grace to others, because no one might know the situation that you go through. No one might be inclined to talk about the traumas that they've lived. But lending grace to someone without even knowing their situation, and adhering to their needs over your own needs in order to facilitate growth in someone else's life to help them get back on track. Because Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He needs no help doing that. And sometimes, if we don't hunt ourselves, if we don't hunt our assumptions, if we don't search our hearts, we can take part in the damaging that has been started by Satan. So you want to make sure that grace, the same grace that is offered to you, and it's hard to do because you say, oh, they don't deserve that. Or, no, you don't either. When have you ever deserved anything?
So true. So true.
So hunting your assumptions, lending that grace, and being there for someone who needs it, regardless of what their situation is, regardless of them, you know, spilling their guts to you. Having a relationship in order to communicate enough to communicate with God, like, Lord, I know this soul needs to hear something from me. I know this person needs something from me in my in their lives. How can I lend grace, the grace that you've given to me, a fraction of it, so that I can then offer that to someone else? That grace that has been given to me. If that is what's going to make the world a better place, that's not how we facilitate as Christians. You know, we must offer grace, the grace to attend to the needs of others, even when we're critical, even when we're irritated, even when we forget that we also are in need of grace.
We forget.
Don't forget the work that Jesus has done on the cross.
Oh, that's so good. Love that. Grace. And more grace. Yeah. So what is some advice that you have for people trying to learn better communication skills and how they can invite the Lord into how they engage with others? So we've talked a little bit about stopping, seeking the Lord in prayer, reading your word, obviously. But what advice do you have, some like practical, tangible things for people trying to learn better communication skills and then on how they can invite the Lord into how they engage with others?
Well, I'm an educator, regardless, you know, of even if I'm teaching students, I'm an educator. I love to educate. I am an educated person. I spend a lot of time reading words. And sometimes I realize I'm reading more than I know, you know, or reading things. Or know more than I know because I read so many things. I'm like, oh, I remember when I read this. Now, sometimes I might not remember the exact scripture, but I remember the scenario and the study that went behind whatever was done. And so, one, I would say, don't be afraid to join a body of Christ. Don't let your hurt from people in an organization deter you from joining a church.
So good. Yes.
That is so important. There is no perfect church. There's no such thing as a perfect church. Like there is no perfect person. The only person that was ever perfect was Jesus himself, and he was incarnate of God. And so we ain't that. You know, you your daughter's son, you your mother's son, you your father's son, you your daddy's mama. I mean, you're your daddy's daughter. You act like your parents.
Yeah.
Flesh. You, the only connection you have to God is through the blood of Jesus.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Keep that in mind. The only reason why you in the game and have access to the tree of life is because the Son sets next to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And gives you access and whispers your heart to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And don't be afraid to join a body of Christ, to have a pastor, to have a community of believers that you can discern with.
Yeah.
So somebody you can work with and somebody your age too. Like, you don't want to join a church that's a whole bunch of old people. They're not going to understand what you're going through. Like, I just started working. Every time I go to my church and tell somebody old and retired about how it's hard to get up at 5 every morning, like, child, get out of here. Go to work. You know, they're not sympathizing of the psychological struggles that it comes with getting up in the morning, you know, because I'm so far removed from that. It's just that sometimes having a community of believers is not seen important.
Mm.
And it very much so is.
Right.
Even when you read and studying on your own, just going to somebody like, girl, you ain't going to, I've been studying Paul's writings, the Pauline writings, and here's some things that I'm struggling with. Here's some things that I love. Here's some things that I want to, that I'm convicted by.
Mm-hmm.
Doing stuff like that is Bible study. That's Bible study. Even when you're in a group chat, sometimes I find myself in a group chat talking about something I read in devotional, and we pow, 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 we rapid firing stuff and testimonies and things like that. That is a blessing to be in community with people who are in a group chat.
Yeah.
And not just stuck on email or, you know, Telegram, stuff like that. And so I would say join a community of believers. Have that place where you go, where because preaching is very much so important, and getting a good word also convicts you more so than anything else does that you can just do at home. Then I would say pick up a book. Pick up some books and read, baby. Books of, you know, they used to say something about African Americans that I hate to repeat because, you know, Black history is coming up. They used to say, if you want to hide something from an African American, put it in a book.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that is still the case because a lot of us will not read.
Mm-hmm.
Read a book. Find a book. I have some books. Here's one book called Relational Intelligence by Dr. Darius Daniels. I've read this book cover to cover, and I continue reading it because it always offers new life into where I am. And it's a very light read, but it's very heavy in the sense that you can read it again and again, and it's great.
Yeah.
Another book to read on in your leisure that helps you facilitate with others and communicate with others is The 5 Love Languages book by Gary Chapman. You kind of have to realize the love languages that don't pertain to you, because your love language and somebody else's love language can be different.
Yeah.
And you can break some of those social barriers down that might exist by realizing what that person's love language is and then leading towards that and breaking those things down, you know, breaking the, you know, some people have chips on their shoulder naturally, but if you have taken the time to try to realize some of the key ways to communicate with some hard to difficult to handle, difficult to communicate people,
mm-hmm.
they will then learn how to love you.
Yeah.
But it starts with you trying to figure out their love language. So that's a good book to kind of start with. Going to church, reading these books, and then putting these practices in these books with the people you go into church with, and then translating that to trickle down to people you work with, strangers, people you in the line, in front of the line, people who hop in and cut you off on the freeway, because, you know, people who hit you, people who that, everybody. You have to read, you have to be in fellowship, you have to put it towards practice, because it's important to always be learning. There's nothing in the world you can do, even when you got it, even if you don't. I have a master's degree. I still have to get a teacher certification.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing in this world you can do without studying and being proficient in. You can't be a mechanic without going to a trade school and getting a certificate. You can't sell a house, can't get a real estate license without learning how to go through the process. You can't even be a notary without going through the notary class. Everything you do in life requires you some kind of coursework, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You can try to run from school all you want. I tell my kids this, if you don't want to go to school, you want to play basketball, that's fine. What do they choose basketball people from? What do they choose football students from? College. Mm-hmm. They don't go straight from high school to work in the pros. That just doesn't happen most times.
Yeah.
Very rare, rarer. So you have to kind of put some work, some words. And then I encourage people to get daily devotionals. This is one of the devotionals that I've read and I'm reading now. This is my new one, Jesus Calling by Sarah Young. Then I also read, you know, this devotional, New Morning Mercies by Paul David Tripp. This is one of the greatest ones. This is a lightweight and a heavyweight. You know, whenever you go to seminary, you read commentaries and it's some real heavy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to start your day. And then sometimes you need some light stuff. You need to have a heavyweight and a lightweight. Put it together and then there's nothing that you cannot do. And I also encourage you to, you know, keep reading God's word. This is one of my old devotionals, Jesus Listens. It's a really good one, also by Sarah Young. I encourage you to start your day with prayer and a devotion.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to run some of the devils away anyway. I start my day in my classroom. I close the door in dark with some lamps, praying over the threshold. So every student, every coworker that comes into contact with me, please don't come to me with all of that foolishness. Leave it outside because I need it. You need it. Everybody needs that. And so reading, studying, being under a believer, being under a community of believers, an umbrella of love is going to be something that I recommend everybody does, you know, because that's going to make sure that you are continually hunting yourself, working on yourself, growing, pouring into yourself, and then pouring into others and people praying for you, you praying for others. That's what Jesus wanted for us to be in, like in the community of believers. He wanted us to work together.
Yeah.
He didn't want us to be sequestered and siloed off.
Yeah.
You know, never.
Yeah.
So community. And then with that community, like book clubs, read books together, study together, pray together.
Absolutely. No, those are all great. And I'll be sure to put all of those recommendations in the show notes.
Yes.
So that listeners can. Yeah. So they can access all of those. So thank you for sharing that. And we are about to wrap up, but before we go, I would love to know if you have a foundational or cornerstone scripture for your life. I'm sure you have plenty, but
I got too many. I'll be reading the whole Bible book.
Yeah. So like maybe what's the one that you're leaning on currently in the season or one that, you know, has been a consistent one throughout your life?
So I'll just do three.
Okay.
And this, the first one is Isaiah 55, 9 through 11. It's important that y'all get this. And it's important that you infuse a little Old Testament readings and New Testament readings, because we are not Jewish. We read the whole canon together. And so it says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways.
Mm-hmm.
And my thoughts higher than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields a seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but accomplish what I desire and achieve for which I sent it, for the purpose of which I sent it. That is so important. God's ways are higher than your ways. You might not fully understand it. That's okay. And that's another reason why we must synthesize the messages from God. Because your reasoning for you thinking God is trying to share that with you and God's reasoning might not match up.
Right.
So make sure that the evaporation process comes with that word. It cycles through his ways before it comes back down to you. Let that come up and down and up and down. Evaporated and rained, back onto you so that you know specifically what God wants for you. Then the second, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, desires the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. That's 100% my vibe. I know God has something for me to be successful, to be thriving, and not only that, to be a blessing to the kingdom of God. Be rich, not only in wealth, be rich in people who I've brought to the body of Christ.
Yeah.
100%, that's it. And then the last, Philippians 4 and 13. I can do all things through Christ, who's given me the strength. And that's it. Those are the cornerstone. Like, you got those scriptures, baby, there ain't nothing in this world you can't do. You are equipped. Because if you just exegete these three, you can just be preaching on this all year long.
Yeah.
You know? So that's it. That's me.
No, that's great. I'll be sure to include those in the show notes as well, because those are some really pivotal foundational scriptures that I think every believer should be familiar with. If I know some people may have heard some of them before, but I'll definitely bring those up as again. So thank you so much for joining, Sam. This has been a blessing. I feel nourished from this conversation, and definitely some things for me to think about in terms of, you know, ongoing communication and how I can be more strategic and intentional and how I communicate with others. But what do you have coming up? Where can people follow you? I'll be sure to drop all of your info that you provide in the show notes.
Okay, yes. You can follow me at Gilbert Trey, GILBERTREI. That's Gilbert Trey, as in like a play on Gilbert the Third, because they call me Trey. And what I have coming up is I will be working very closely with Mother's Shut-In, which is the nonprofit I'm executive assistant for this year. We're doing some amazing things. There'll be some scholarships coming down the pipeline, partnerships, giveaways. This is a ministry for mothers and grandmothers alike who come together to pray and meditate and fast on behalf of the family. Mm-hmm. And so please follow us on social media, mothersshutin.org or Mothers Shut In on Twitter and Facebook. I am pretty much running all of the social media there. We have some great events coming up throughout the year. Credit repair informationals, health food, and workout training informationals. And also I will be presenting a vision board symposium in February to help us write the vision and make it plain. We want to make sure we write our vision down and make it plain. And I believe in vision boards because my vision boards have come to pass. Not because I'm such a good planner, not because I'm the best person and got the best plans, but because I put it all in God's hands. I wrote the vision, made it plain, and prayed about it, and God made it so. So we will be doing that in order to create goals and manifest some great things in our lives personally, professionally, and spiritually.
That's great. I can't wait to learn more about that organization. I already follow y'all and y'all are already active. And some of the things you've already told me that y'all did last year are really exciting. So I'll be sure to drop that information in the show notes. But thank you again for joining us today, Sam. It was a great conversation. And I know that I really wanted to be sure to talk about things that I think other people, it's like, if you're a believer, Christ is supposed to be the cornerstone of everything in your life. And I think there's so many things that we always think about the big things, but something as important as communication, I don't think that people think about enough, and how we're supposed to even have Christ as a cornerstone of that and steward, as you said, like how we, the words that we bring forth and what we speak. So thank you so much for this conversation and for your time. And thank you all for joining as usual. And I will see you next time.